When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through you? Well, we're giving them to you. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Saw you look quite so pretty before. Never saw you dress quite so handsome. What's more, I could hardly wait to keep our date this lovely Easter morning. And my heart beat fast as I came through the door. In the Easter parade, I'll be all in clover, and when they look us over, we'll be the proudest couple in the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the guy I'm taking to the Easter parade.
On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure.
Goodness, what a choral ascent for a beautiful piece of music by Irving Berlin. Easter Parade, of course, in this case sung from the film by Judy Garland and Fred Astaire. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here at 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting. Now, normally we would radiate out of the sunny climes or the chilly climes these days of Southampton, New York, but recording today in New York City, the Big Apple. We are in 1933, the greatest review, in my opinion, of all time debuted Irving Berlin and Moss Hart's As Thousands Cheer. And that's what we're going to be looking at today on Broadway to Main Street for the next hour. To me, the granddaddy of all great reviews of the 20s and 30s, As Thousands Cheer. Now, the review form is something I've always been very attracted to. You rarely see them anymore. With Rodgers and Hammerstein in 1943, the narrative musical took over, and everything is subjected to story and character and narrative and all those good things that we treasure very, very much, don't we? But As Thousands Cheer was the culmination of the major art form of the musical of the 20s and 30s, the revue, which was very simply an alternation of song and sketch and dance and comedy, very much like you might see on Saturday Night Live these days, or something you might have seen on the Ed Sullivan Show back in the 50s and 60s. But this was a high art form if it was mastered by people at the top. And you couldn't get much more top back in 1933 than Irving Berlin and Moss Hart. They had worked together on an earlier show called Face the Music, but they had an idea to do something different with their review in 1933. Moss Hart told the New York Times, that the idea for his Thousands Cheer was broached to me by Mr. Berlin more than a year ago, before I had journeyed westward to the city of Dreadful Night, known as Hollywood. We both agreed that we had no desire to do a conventional sort of review, with the usual blackout sketches, songs, and dances. So we hit upon the idea of writing a topical review, right off the front pages of the newspapers. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly how they constructed their review. Each scene and each sketch and each song would have a big newspaper headline projected in front of it. And that gave it a kind of not only topicality, but a sort of sensibility in which everything was kind of organized around a governing principle, which you rarely saw in a musical back then, or certainly in a review back then. So let's turn to the opening number by Irving Berlin. It's a number that turns the whole idea of a newspaper upside down, and it's called Man Bites Dog.
I've got a headline, oh, what a headline, off the beaten track. A dog bit a man and the man bit the dog right back.
You can print what Roosevelt said on the front page for a great big spread.
But I've got a headline, oh, what a headline, off the beaten track. A dog bit a man and the man bit the dog right back.
Hold the wire, it's hard to hear, there is someone screaming in my ear. What the hell's the matter with you and why the big enthuse?
A man was bitten by a dog.
I know, but that's not news.
But the man bit the dog right back.
What's that? You say, got no time for gags today.
But this is no gag, it's on the square. I just this minute came back from there.
You just this minute came back from where?
From the swell Park Avenue shack, where a dog bit a man and the man bit the dog right back.
Never mind that Roosevelt speech, I've a headline now that is a peach. It's a most important story that'll set the town agog. Kill the Roosevelt spread, print this instead. Man bites dog. Extra!
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 Man bites
extra!
Dog!
Out of tune, that if things don't happen soon, we'll all be biting dogs next June. At last, a man bit a dog at last, and Mr. Hearst has a chance to kick the French in the pants. He says that the man who bit the dog was a native of France.
And Winchell's all agog, he interviewed the dog.
And he says that the pretty pom is soon to become a mom. It's a dog you hate to be with.
The kind you see with the rich. Not a great big manly he-dog.
A little she-dog.
A bitch, which gives us a headline off the beaten track. A bitch bit a man and the man bit the bitch right back.
That was the opening number, Man Bites Dog, to Irving Berlin and Moss Hart's review As Thousands Cheer. Now, A Thousand Cheer was never actually recorded. This was kind of back in the days, we're talking 1933, before cast albums per se were made. Well, here's some recordings from some of the original performers as we go. And one of the reasons I wanted to turn to His Thousands Cheer, because it is published for the first time in an edition of 16 musicals called American Musicals, the complete book and lyrics to 16 Broadway classics that I have edited for the Library of America. So if you're thinking about what kind of perfect holiday gift you want to give to your musical theater fan, look no further. Well, today you can follow along, if you wish, to His Thousands Cheer. We're going to go back and cheat a little bit to a show that Berlin and Moss Hart wrote in 1932 called Face the Music. This is where they collaborated for the first time. Berlin was the great man of American music, certainly since 1912 with Alexander's Ragtime Band. And Moss Hart was an up-and-coming playwright who had just hit it big with a huge comedy called Once in a Lifetime, which he wrote with George S. Kaufman. So Face the Music is a strange sort of review-slash-musical comedy about police and raising money for a musical and a producer who's out of work because of the Depression. And it did include many great songs, but certainly this Depression-era classic. So let's do a preamble, as it were. Here is Burl Ives to sing Let's Have Another Cup of Coffee.
Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Let a smile be your umbrella, or it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is a-looking for the silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. Let a smile be your umbrella, for it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is looking for the silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.
Ba-dum-bum. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM. And today we're looking at the incomparable Irving Berlin Moss Hart Review as Thousands Cheer from 1933. Now, as I mentioned earlier, each sketch and each song was set up by some topical reference and by a newspaper headline. And the first sketch read, Franklin D. Roosevelt Inaugurated Tomorrow. And it was about Mr. and Mrs. Hoover being chucked out somewhat unceremoniously from the White House and packing up all their stuff and ruining the day they ever went into the White House back in 1928. Mrs. Hoover says, "We'll just go back to Palo Alto with nothing at all to show for your having been president of the United States." And Hoover says, "Nobody else in the country has got anything to show for it either." Mrs. Hoover, "That's right. Wisecracking is going to help us a lot." Hoover, "Now, Lou, things might have been a lot worse. Suppose I'd been reelected." And this kind of sketch isn't cutting edge necessarily, but back in the day, you didn't really have sketches of presidents or former presidents. So again, Berlin and Moss Hart were at the cutting edge. Our next song, How's Chances, was a reference to Barbara Hutton, who was the Woolworth millionaireess who married a, I guess somewhat of a ne'er-do-well, but a Greek prince in a much celebrated event. And this song is about all the men, her chauffeur, her butler, other princes, who are singing to Barbara Hutton and asking her maybe if she might consider them worthy marriage material. It's sung by a chorus of men, but here is Ella Fitzgerald to sing a beautiful, unappreciated Irving Berlin song called How's Chances.
How's chances? Say, how are the chances of making you love me the way I love you? How many young girls must I fight with to be in right with you? For one of those glances, a glimpse of heaven, I'm longing to see. How's chances to end all your romances and start taking your chances with me? Thank you. I fight with, to be in right with, in right with you. How's chances for one of those glances, a glimpse of heaven I'm longing to see? Taking your chances with me.
Now, don't you just listen to that song and say, "Where have you been all my life?" A great song by Irving Berlin from As Thousands Cheer, which we're celebrating today, the great review he wrote with Moss Hart. Now, the next number, you just saw a big headline that says, "Heat Wave Hits New York." That was obviously the newspaper's weather section. And blazingly on the stage hit Ethel Waters, who had made a huge success at the Cotton Club a couple years before and became probably the most highly paid and most celebrated black performer on Broadway since Burt Williams in the 19-teens. Here is Ethel Waters from the original cast to heat things up.
Town last week. She came from the island of Martinique. The can-can she dances will make you fry. The can-can is really the reason why we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat wave by letting her seat wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can. Her anatomy made the mercury jump to 93. Yes, sir. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves, that thermometer proves that she certainly can. It's so hot, the weatherman will tell you a record's been made. It's so hot, a coat of tan will cover your face in a shade. It's so hot, the coldest maiden feels just as warm as a bride. It's so hot, a chicken laid an egg on the street and it fried. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat wave by letting us heat wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can. Her anatomy made that mercury jump to 93. Yeah, man, we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves, that thermometer proves that she certainly can.
That was Ethel Waters from the original cast of As Thousands Cheer. Well, there were a couple of other sketches after that. There was a sketch about Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Joan Crawford getting divorced. They were the, what would I say, the Bradgelina? Is that the right word? I don't know. They were the big married stars of their day. A sketch you couldn't possibly do now about war debts. And then we moved to another musical number, and it was at the Lonely Hearts column, which was in every major paper at the time, with a song called Lonely Hearts. Now, as I mentioned earlier, As Thousands Cheer wasn't really recorded for a full cast album back in 1933. They didn't do that back then. But we're lucky to have Patti LuPone do a medley of Berlin songs. And in the middle is this wonderful song from the Lonely Hearts column. So, from a recent recording, here's Patti LuPone to bring As Thousands Cheer up to the present.
Please let me say from the start, I don't pretend to be smart. I just suggest what I think best, having your interest at heart. I only want what's the best thing for you, and the best thing for you would be me. I've been after thinking it through, that the best thing for you would be me. Every day to myself I say, point the way, what will it be? I ask myself, what's the best thing for you and myself, and I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me.
Stands upon the shelf, hoping.
loving you always. With a love that's true always. When the things you've planned need a helping hand, I will understand. Be fair always. That's when I'll be there always. Not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, but always.
Beautiful ballad called Lonely Heart, buried in that little Irving Berlin medley. Well, next up on the list of his thousands cheer was, for many children and probably many adults in the audience, their favorite part of the newspaper. And what would that be, of course? The funnies. So yes, of course, in 1933, unless you were reading the New York Times, which was always too grand to have a funny section, you read about Popeye and bringing up Father and Smitty and the Cats and Jammer kids, and here they all are celebrated in a great song in which you had all the characters come to life from Berlin's As Thousands Cheer. Here is The Funnies.
Sunday is Sunday to my family, but Sunday is not simply Sunday for me. For Sunday's the one day when I love to see the funnies. Breakfast is nothing of which you can boast, but breakfast to me isn't coffee and toast. It's coffee and toast and what I love the most, the funnies. I love the funnies. I couldn't go without the funnies. A cup of coffee to my lips, and in between the sips, the papers with the capers that are in the comic strips, which means I'm simply mad about. I mean, I couldn't do without the funnies. Oh, in my pajamas, I love to read the Cats and Jammers. A little coffee in a cup, and bringing Father up, I'm Dippy over Skippy and his little yellow pup, which means I'm simply mad about. I mean, I couldn't do without the funnies. I'm not concerned with the news of the day, the stories of who murdered who, and for the columns, what they have to say, I have no need of. I don't wanna read of the guys and all their honeys, the wealthy daughters or the sunnies, the news about the lovely trips that people take in ships. I'd rather read about the people in the comic strips, which means I'm simply mad about. I mean, I couldn't do without the funnies. I'm not concerned with the news of the day, the stories of who murdered who, and for the columns, what they gotta say. No, I have no need of. I don't wanna read of the guns and all their honeys, the wealthy daughters or the sunnies, the news about the lovely trips that they all take in ships. I'd rather read about the people in the comic strips, which means I'm simply mad about. It means I couldn't do without the funnies.
Well, I think that song is pretty funny, too. That was a woman named Margie Gibson. The Funnies never recorded before because there was no cast album of the originalist Thousands Cheer done in a studio version. Well, as Thousands Cheer, as I said, was the granddaddy to me of all the great reviews of the 20s and 30s, and they broke a lot of trail, which we'll get to in a little bit. But every review had to have, yes, the Act One finale. And for the Act One finale, they pulled out all the stops in this one. And you may remember, if you are of an older generation, that the newspapers had something called a rotogravure section. And that was in the early days of photographs and stuff, a sepia-toned photo insert of events of the day. And one of the great rotogravure events was the Easter parade up and down, well, down Fifth Avenue on Easter, of course. So they did a big number where everybody, it was 1895, and everybody walked down Fifth Avenue in their Easter hats, and it was all done in sepia-toned costumes. Imagine that. Well, we heard Judy Garland sing it at the top of the show, but here's a wonderful jazz duo, Ellis Larkin on piano and Ruby Braff on trumpet, to give you Berlin's wonderful Easter parade, the end of the first act of As Thousands Cheer. Thank you. Alice Larkin and Ruby Braff celebrating Easter Parade. And we are celebrating ourselves, Irving Berlin and Moss Hearts as Thousands Cheer from 1933. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM. And the first act curtain has come down. So let me just take this moment to say that As Thousands Cheer, which is a great, great review of the 20s and 30s, 1933, is available in print for the first time in a two-volume edition that I edited. Don't tell anybody. I edited it. Did I say that? Called American Musicals, the complete book and lyrics to 16 Broadway classics, available from the Library of America. So if you want to follow along, you can do. All right, everybody's gotten back to their seats. The orchestra's played the entr'acte, and As Thousands Cheer has a second act opener called Metropolitan Opera, which was all about how the Metropolitan Opera sold commercial space on the radio. Kind of amusing in our current day when many of you watch the Met on HD in various theaters around the country. And then they did something quite remarkable in the second act. As I said, everything was keyed to a newspaper headline, and the sketch or the song was either went along with it or was in some kind of contrast. And they took on, of all things, lynching. In 1932, there were reported between 15 and 28 lynchings in the South, and that's reported. And to tackle that idea in a comedy review was extraordinary, but Berlin and Moss Hart were always pushing the envelope. So there was a big headline that said, "Unknown Negro Lynched by Frenzied Mob." And Ethel Waters, the great black singer-performer, came on stage and sang this Irving Berlin classic. Here is Ethel Waters herself. What a number. Next time you hear that song, you'll know the context in which it appeared. A Thousand's Cheer needed a good comedy sketch after that number, and this one is called Gandhi Goes on New Hunger Strike, which may not have struck many people as very funny now, but back then he was teamed up in a restaurant with Amy Semple McPherson. And Amy Semple comes in and says, "Waiter, the regular dollar and quarter dinner with Jell-O." "Now you go right on starving, Brother Gandhi. It won't interfere with my appetite a bit." And Gandhi, who was played by Clifton Webb, said, "This restaurant has the best food in India. That's why I starve here." And they decide to team up at the end and come up with a vaudeville act. That's the kind of show it was. A couple of other sketches appeared, one about John D. Rockefeller. And then we get to another part that was very important in newspapers in the 30s, which was the Broadway gossip column. Either it was Ed Sullivan or, in this case, Walter Winchell. And here is a Winchell-esque number called Through a Keyhole. It's sung for an off-Broadway revival, the only revival I know of His Thousandth Cheer from the 1990s. And here is Howard McGillin as Walter Winchell.
My mother was frightened by a snoopy neighbor who poked his eye through mother's keyhole. And that is why I am what I am today. The man who looks through the keyholes along Broadway. My job is to be alert and get the lowdown on all the dirt. The dirt that gathers on Broadway's skirt. For that's how I earn my pay. The man who looks through the keyholes along Broadway. Would you like to take a look through a keyhole? If you'd like to get the in on the latest bit of sin, have a look. Life is like an open book through a keyhole. If you wonder what occurs ere the lady gets her furs, have a look. Angry people who think they're tough start to threaten, but that's a bluff. They may holler, but they won't stuff up their keyhole. So come on and have a look through a keyhole. If you'd like to get a view of who is cheating who, have a look. Take a look through a keyhole. If you'd like to get the in on the latest bit of sin, have a look. La 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 la. Through a keyhole. If you wonder what occurs ere the lady gets her furs, have a look. Just what is on their mind through a keyhole. So come on and have a look through a keyhole. If you want to see New York getting ready for the stork, have a look. Life is like an open book through a keyhole. Want to get a load of the husband on the road? Have a look.
Angry people who think they're tough people start to threaten, but that's a bluff.
They may holler, but they won't stuff up their keyhole. So come on. you'd really like to know how she got into the show, have a look.
We are now in the home stretch of His Thousands Cheer, that great Irving Berlin Moss Hart review from 1933. There's a great sketch called Noel Coward Playwright Returns to England, and it was all about how the waitstaff and butler and chambermaids at a New York hotel all turn into Noel Coward after he stays there for 2 weeks. A great, great sketch. Very affectionate tribute to Noel Coward from his pal, Moss Hart. The next sketch was called Josephine Baker, Still the Rage in Paris. And it was all about how Josephine Baker, who was a Harlem chorus girl in the 20s, had now become the toast of Paris and did not want to, didn't want to stay there. She kind of missed her roots, as we call it. And here is Ethel Waters from the original company to sing Harlem on My Mind.
Emeralds in my bracelet, diamonds in my rings, a Riviera chateau and a lot of other things, and I'm blue, so blue. Am I? Lots of ready money in 7 different banks. I counted up this morning, it was about 1,000,000 francs, and I'm blue, so blue, and I know why. I've got Harlem on my mind, and I'm longing to be low down, and my parley-voo will not ring true with Harlem on my mind. I've been dined and I've been wined, but I'm heading for a showdown, 'cause I can't go on from night to dawn with Harlem on my mind. I go to supper with a French marquis each evening after the show. My lips begin to whisper, mon chéri, but my heart keeps singing, hidey-ho. I've become too damned refined, and at night I hate to go down to that highfalutin flat that Lady Mendel designed with Harlem on my mind. I've got Harlem on my mind, and I'm longing to be low down, and my parley-voo will not ring true with Harlem on my mind. I've been dined and I've been wined, but show as you bone, I'm heading for a showdown, 'cause I can't go on from night to dawn with Harlem on my mind. And when I'm bathing in my marble tub each evening after the show, I get to thinking about that cotton club, and my heart starts chirping, hardy-ho, send me. I've been too damned refined, and at night I hate to go down to that flat with 50 million Frenchmen tagging behind with Harlem on my mind.
What a great song. Ethel Waters, one of my favorite performers. And As Thousands Cheer was such a groundbreaking review. I guess it's fitting that it was the best of its kind. Only a handful of reviews on Broadway were as good as that after 1933. It was so topical, and it had in it not only Ethel Waters, which was kind of not extraordinary, but certainly remarkable, that you had an African-American sharing the stage with people like Marilyn Miller, who was Ziegfeld's great lead, and Clifton Webb, who we'll hear from in a minute, Helen Broderick, who you may remember from the movies in the 30s. And I've always just thought its brazenness and its showmanship was so extraordinary that I decided that it should be in print, and it is in print in our American Musicals 2-volume selection. So, of course, any great review also had a great finale, and they did something, again, rather different. People knew their reviews. They knew what they were about. They knew the lineup. So the final headline to his thousands cheer came down, or flew in the wings, or however they did it back then, and said, "Supreme Court, hands down, important decision." And the girls and boys came up, and they said, "Something new in the show at last. Something new, if you please. We won't pull the same old wheeze, which means we won't reprise the chorus of one of the melodies at last. Here's a show that will end at last without a reprise, and that's new." They looked up the Constitution, and they couldn't find a word that said we had to sing a song that you'd already heard. And so everybody comes down and says, "You know what? We're not going to reprise all those songs you heard, which we always do. We'll sing a new song." And they put the entire company, with Clifton Webb at the head of them, to sing a song called "Not for All the Rice in China." And that was the big finale. Now, topicality is a rather two-edged sword. It makes things very interesting and exciting when you're in the theater, but it sometimes makes things hard to revive. As Thousands Cheer, as I said, has never really been revived except for an off-Broadway production in the 1990s. But its songs still stay fresh. They've become standards like Heat Wave, Easter Parade, Harlem on My Mind, and the sketches are as good as any bit of Broadway comedy anybody ever wrote by Moss Hart. So I hope you enjoy this little tour down 1933 memory lane to celebrate a show I love very much called As Thousands Cheer. And now to take us out, again, they didn't do an original cast album, but they did record Clifton Webb singing what was the non-reprised final number from his Thousands Cheer. Hope you enjoy it. All my best.
The pleasure that I get with every measure when we dance. Not for all the kilts in Scotland, not for all the bulls in Spain, would I give up arriving at your house, although you're driving me insane. Not for all the onions in Bermuda, or the cheeses that are made by the Swiss, would I exchange that first kiss that you gave me? Not for all
the beans in Boston, not for all the steaks in Moore's, would I agree to part with all the joy you filled my heart with when you said, I'm yours.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.